Hello and welcome to Virtus Voices. This is Pete Batchelor, Senior Vice President in the Product Group at Virtus Investment Partners. Today is October 24th, 2019, and I'm joined by Matt Beckendorf. Matt is the Chief Investment Officer at Von Tobel Asset Management. Matt is the lead portfolio manager on the Virtus Von Tobel Emerging Markets, Foreign and Global Opportunities Funds. I really enjoy every couple of months getting to sit down with you, Matt, to have these conversations. Always very insightful, informative for me. So thanks a lot for joining me today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Pete. I enjoyed it as well.
When we look back this year, first three quarters, 2019, performance-wise, all of your strategies have produced very strong absolute and really exceptional relative returns year to date. Could you just provide us with the primary drivers of those results this year?
That's a good question. I think particularly because most people probably wouldn't put those two together as you have, the double play, so to speak. Usually with very strong absolute returns, we'd probably be having a conversation about how, you know, we're happy with the absolute returns. That's what we eat as long-term investors, but we're relatively underperforming because the market's a little bit strong for us. And then vice versa, typically the conversation is we have very, very strong relative returns, but it's a down market and we're doing our job as people have expected us to protect. I think what allows us in a year like 2019 so far, with a quarter yet to go, to have the double play, as I said, so to speak, is it's been a difficult market. It's back to the conversations we've had over the course of this year together. Even going back to the beginning of this year, I thought this year would be one of the most difficult investing environments that we will face because of the normalization of interest rate policy, because of the confluence of different geopolitical battles and debates going on, because of politics. But I was clear to say, fortunately, that difficult didn't necessarily mean down, but difficult simply meant that, you know, a lot of the basic obvious trends that people have ridden might not be as persistent anymore, might be subject to change, weaker business models might be under more pressure, and a rigorous, disciplined investment philosophy would probably pay some dividends. So I think that's the long answer to your question, that in a difficult environment, even though we've all benefited and happily benefited from some very good absolute returns, which are good for us and our investors, the difficulty and the complexity of the environment, I think, has allowed our strategy to do relatively well. Because despite the gyrations, despite the news flow, despite the sort of bouts of pessimism and optimism that swing around day to day, the strength of our businesses have held up. We've been relatively satisfied with the earnings growth of our businesses. We've had a very good hit ratio, as I've described it this year so far, in terms of businesses delivering and having very little mistakes or disappointments in the portfolio, which can happen from time to time, even with great businesses. So a high hit ratio, difficult environment, I think have come together, fortunately and successfully for our investors so far. But I think we got a lot of year yet to go.
And you know what? I wanted to ask you, what do you make of the Fed? The Fed has begun to buy treasury bills. Initial pace of $60 billion a month, obviously a big reversal in course from where they were. Do you make anything out of that?
Well, I think the big thing to glean out of it, and I think it's particularly relevant for emerging markets investors, is one of the headwinds to emerging markets performance that has been there now for the last couple of years in U.S. dollar strength, which was driven by a progressively tightening U.S. monetary policy. I think that's clearly abated and now, in fact, to your question or point, reversed. So I think that's the relevant point there, at least, that I think there's some uncertainty, number one, at least in the future exact direction of monetary policy, which leaves people, as they should be, a little bit balanced, topping from foot to foot, not so certain of one progressive direction, which leads to a good, difficult environment for active managers to make money, but also that gradual tightening of U.S. monetary policy, that slope we've been on, was causing problems in emerging markets simply because it was causing U.S. dollar strength and corresponding emerging markets weakness, which was, in effect, tying the hands a bit of some of the emerging market central banks. Now that not only has the rate increases stopped and reversed to some degree, and now either they can pause or continue to reverse, we'll see, but also the added QE or resumption of some treasury buying, as you mentioned, is just indicating a bit looser monetary policy here at least, which should bode well, I think, generally for emerging markets.
Okay, that being said, when you look globally, where do you see the best opportunities now?
Yeah, I think I have to continue on from the point we were just making there, not simply for the fact that emerging markets performance is still behind. Earnings growth has continued, particularly for our companies there. The earnings growth future looks still bright, particularly for our companies there. And because of asset allocation reasons, because of fear or some pessimism, because of momentum moving assets to more attractive relative places in the near term, emerging markets have still been left behind. Look, that's a bit of the nature of emerging markets. The asset flows tend to swing a bit more. I think people do consistently get overly pessimistic if they are true investors and they do believe in the opportunity in emerging markets and you have the right manager. You really do need to, and you can buy and hold, truly buy and hold. And the performance on an absolute basis in the nearer term, while in the very long term has still been better, the near term has been behind. And I think that catch-up is still clearly there if you look at the valuations, the growth, et cetera, and the long tail still ahead of them. I'm not as positive on that with the other side of the coin being negative on places like the U.S., though. You know, I think because of the gyrations we've had here still in our global portfolio, we still have newer opportunities reopening back up in the U.S. market because of the politics. You'll get areas like healthcare that had been a strong performer, then now had been a weak performer because of the rhetoric is likely to probably still continue to get weaker, but it'll open up back some great high-quality companies for us. So I'm kind of giving you a real diverse answer. As wide-ranging as some areas in U.S. healthcare are getting a bit better and will continue to get better, and then you go all the way to the other side of the coin, emerging markets, I think, as I said, longer term still as good as it's been, and I think will continue to get better. And I think the same phrase that we used last call, if I remember right, and I continue to bring up, the good news for emerging markets as well relative to developed markets is at least some of the political volatility should be less of now. While in the developed markets, we're about to get our own little bit of dose of political volatility, at least here in the next 12 to 15 months. So opportunities are fresh. It's good. Opportunities in emerging markets are good. Select areas in developed markets are still good. Net-net, despite all the talk and rhetoric and despite a long, consistent track record of doing pretty well so far, I feel really good. Our portfolios are fairly fully invested, and we got a lot of bites at the apple to take here.
So let's dig down a couple of levels. And as a bottom-up investor, I think we can all agree stock prices follow earnings. So let's talk a little bit about earnings. On the last podcast, I asked you about second quarter earnings. Today, we sit here smack dab in the middle of the peak week in earnings reporting for the third quarter. And what I've seen is analysts have actually accelerated their revisions downward really since the end of September. What is your outlook for corporate profits? Are they stalling? Are they slowing? How does the U.S. compare to the rest of the world? What are you seeing looking forward in terms of earnings and corporate profitability?
It's interesting. I think in general, it isn't wrong that, and that was the estimates even going in pre-revision. Everybody was expecting this to be a slower, you know, or a slowdown quarter. Again, generally speaking, I'm not talking specifically to our names, quality names in our portfolio, but to your question, generally speaking, you know, the expectations have been low and on the margin are likely to continue to get a little bit lower because there hasn't been a broader growth slowdown. Now, look, that affects most all businesses because most all businesses are average. That's why we invest the way we do. We think better businesses are more resilient to these broader slowdowns. That's the whole point of why we own them. So the trend of slowdown has definitely been there. It's an unusual period, as you probably know and others have probably read, in that going into this earnings season, more people have been a little bit in a black box. We had a particularly very quiet summer leading into this earnings season where companies and corporates and managements have been very quiet. You know, there hasn't been the traditional nudging and guiding and hand-holding and talking in the marketplace to start to move earnings ahead of the actual earnings, right, and started to cajole the market to where closer to where it should be, which is why I think to your point, too, you're seeing a little bit more catch-up now because people have had no information to go on, and now they're getting, as you said, in the heart of it, teased with the information. Now they need to incorporate the new information. Now that's just, once again, broadly speaking for the market. So you're definitely in a slower period, but it doesn't mean the growth isn't attractive, number one, still in places like the emerging markets, A, and B, still we're quite happy with the earnings growth we're seeing. So we watch, obviously, as investors, the broader market and what others are doing, and then we obviously watch much more closely what our companies are doing. And it's a little bit early as we're having this call, too, to be quite honest, in that our companies, the non-U.S. companies, are report a little bit later. So we're getting into it a little bit behind while the U.S., as you said, we sit right in the heart of it right now. But what we've seen so far, both in U.S. holdings and global and emerging markets companies or emerging markets exposed companies that have already reported, we've seen the HDFC banks report good earnings in emerging markets. We've seen staples companies, multinationals that we own with large exposure to emerging markets report pretty good earnings. And it's not so surprised that those stocks have done well this year, too. So the market has been crazy about them, and the market will continue to be behind on them, we believe. So they'll own a number of these names. Long answer, but I think people should be cautious. Generally, if you own average or low quality because you're along for the ride and things are a bit weaker, but our numbers are pretty good, and we're pretty happy so far this year in terms of how they've come through.
Well, that's all the time we have. Matt, thanks again. Appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule to sit down and talk about the markets. Also want to thank everyone who's taken the time to listen to this podcast. If you're interested in learning more about the Virtus Vontobel Funds or any other Virtus offering, please call us at 800-243-4361 or visit us online at virtus.com.